So we are going to just get super practical today. This lift note in front of you, I hope, becomes a very dear friend of yours that stays in your Bible, that stays close to you, stays in your journal. We are going to just get all into some tools that are going to help you fight the battle to walk through life with a light and easy yoke. Now, we have been talking the last 4 or 5 weeks here about a childlike faith and what it looks like to have faith like a little child. And Jesus teaches famously about little children. But what we've seen the last few weeks is it's amazing. He actually points to himself as the model for what it looks like to walk through life as a little child dependent on God the Father. And so if that sounds a little weird or strange, then I'm going to hopefully get the podcast posted this week, and you can go back and review some of those as we've kind of built a case to see Jesus in this way and how he wants us. But Matthew chapter 11 is kind of the crux of it. He says some just fascinating things. I'm just going to jump right to the conclusion for today. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. There it is. Learn from me. He's the model. Learn from me, for I'm gentle. I'm humble in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And we've spent a few weeks just in awe of that passage. How on earth can Jesus say his yoke is easy and his burden is light? And so if you want to find the answer to that, jump on the website this week, and we'll be getting those podcasts up there. It's amazing for Jesus to say, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Learn from me. He wants us to learn from him how to walk in a dependent relationship with God the Father that's so close, that's so dependent, that's so abiding in God's presence that everything else in life fades away. And the major, major thrust of our existence is, wow, I have a light and easy yoke. My soul is at rest. And that is just so like attractive but incomprehensible in such a way, because it's so different from the life we experience. And I want to talk today about, I want to give you guys 5 tools to learn how to fight for your soul at rest. Fight to put your soul at rest. To fight to walk with a light and easy yoke. Because it is a battle. It is absolutely a battle. And that may even right there sound a little weird, but I'm going to quote a verse that my good brother, where is he at, Jim, brought to me after our first week of looking at this light and easy yoke and finding Jesus as the model to put our soul at rest. It's this beautiful paradoxical passage from Hebrews chapter 4. It's talking about salvation. It says, now we who believe have entered that rest, the rest for our souls. But then in verse 11 it says, so let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. Some translations say, and it's a good Greek translation, let us strive to enter that rest. That's a tension, that's a paradox. Strive to rest. I thought the whole point of resting was that so we don't have to strive. I want to get over striving. And striving gives me weary burdens that I don't want to live. My soul's not at rest when I'm striving. So the reality is, though, we have to fight to enter that place of rest, because there is a lot coming against us that is going to battle against us knowing how to rest. A lot of it has to do with the stuff that's inside of us and how we rebel against God on a regular basis. And we try to, God's over here saying, come on, just abide in my love, abide in your identity in my eyes. And we often just turn this way and say, no, thanks, God, I'm cool, I got it handled. And we do that, and we, therefore, have a major wall up against rest. And we've got to learn how to fight our soul, fight the sinful impulses in us that want to turn away, and just how do we put those to death? As the Apostle Paul says, put to death the old nature. How do we put to death? We got to fight to bring our soul into rest with the Lord. And then as well, we've got all sorts of outside influences from our culture that teach us that our identity is not in that place of rest, that our identity comes from striving and achieving and success in the world's eyes. And we got the plans of the enemy and the lies of the enemy that says, oh, it's not good enough just to be loved by God. You got to have all these other things. You got to be loved by everyone. You got to be acclaimed by everyone. You got to please everyone. And all this stuff fights against us. It battles against us to have a soul at rest in the love of God. And so it is a battle. And that's not anti-biblical language. It's very biblical language. Right there, strive to enter rest. Or Paul, put to death that old nature so you can have a soul at rest. So today we're going to look at what's our part. We know what God's doing. We know God's invitation. We know God's power. But as we talk about a lot, Jesus knocks at the door. Jesus is a gentleman. He says, open the door and I'll come in. He doesn't force his way. He doesn't bash the door down. So we want to look today, what's our part that we can do to fight that battle, to say yes to God, basically, to put to death those old ways and come into that rest for our soul and the light and easy yoke. So I'm going to give us 5 tools today that hopefully you will take with you and you will soak in it, you will learn it, you will practice it. So there's a truth we're going to look at, and then there's a practice for each of them that you can walk away with today and know, okay, I've been given 5 practices that if I do them, then I am learning to fight the battle to put my soul at rest as the Lord invites me to. So here we go. Number 1. Fill in here on the lift notes. First tool is to change our expectations. This is a major foundational piece. If you ever want to have a soul at rest, you've got to change your expectations if you don't already have them lined up with God's. Here's the question. Do you believe that it's God's will for your life that you walk with a light and easy yoke? Many of us don't believe that. We don't believe that it's God's will. It's not part of our expectation of how God wants to interact in our life. Many of us walk through life just expecting that this side of heaven, I'm just going to walk with weariness and a heavy laden, heavy burdens, a restless soul. And just this side of heaven, that's just how things are. But Jesus says, no, the battle begins by knowing this truth about God and God's will for your life, which is this: come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will, Jesus' will, God's will, is to give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. There is God's will all over that passage. That's a promise. That's a picture of God's heart. It's what God wants for us, to learn from Jesus how to walk with a soul at rest and a light and easy yoke. But this is a game changer, because knowing God's will means you can take it as a promise to expect over your life. If it's what God wants for you, it's what you can declare in prayer as an expectation for you. So, a practice is this, to put it into action. Once a day, in the morning, I recommend, or it could be 100 times a day, it doesn't matter. But to get into the mode, if this is a battle that you need to fight because you can feel the weariness, the restlessness, the anxiousness of your soul, you need to practice this. You wake up and you declare a prayer of faith-filled expectation like this. Thank you, Lord, that today in you, Jesus, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy. Just have you ever prayed that? Thank you, God, that my yoke is easy in you. My burden is light. Now, even if that's not 100% reality yet, you are honoring God by saying, this is a promise that you have given to me, invited me into. You said, come and learn it from me, come experience it. So I am going to pray it in a way that I am declaring that I trust you for more of that in my life today, because that's your will. So to wake up and say, Heavenly Father, thank you today that your will for me is more of a light and easy yoke. And do that on a regular basis. That is a transformation of many of, will be a transformation for many of our minds. That we need to come more into alignment with God's will, with heaven's perspective, is that he wants you to walk in this life with a soul at rest and a light and easy yoke. Now, it's not going to happen tomorrow. You're not going to wake up tomorrow. You got to learn to fight for it as Jesus teaches us. He's teaching us to fight. He says, learn from him. It's a process. And so this is one of the major ways, is that when we know something is his will, that's something we can expect from him and pray for with an expectation of faith-filled hope. He's going to be bringing more and more of it. So there's number one. Number two, abide in his love as your source of identity and joy. As Jesus modeled for us, and we spent a whole message on it 2 weeks ago, he abided in his Father's love. He lived his days with the loving gaze of heaven. It says he could see into heaven. He saw up into heaven, and he could see the loving gaze of heaven looking down at him and said, this is my beloved Son, a smile from heaven with whom I'm well pleased. And in Jesus, you have that same reality. He lived in it. He walked in it. It brought a rest and a joy to his soul that he could live in a light and not heavy burden. Let me give you guys an example of how I practice this. And let me see if you identify with this. Is there ever times when you wake up in the morning and before your head is even off the pillow, before your feet even touch the floor, there's already anxiety? There's already a stirred up, restless, disquieted soul. And you may be thinking about the worries of the day, the challenges that you're going to face, the stuff you know is coming that you have to do, the task list is a mile long, the situations are hard. Or maybe it's even some Christian kind of guilt of, oh, what do I have to do today to be a good Christian? Am I going to get it right today? How do I strive to be good enough today? And you're already disquieted in your soul before you've even started the day. You're walking not with a light and easy yoke. You're walking with a heavy burden. And I've felt that. And I feel that on days. And I believe there was God that was speaking to me in a season of my life where I was praying some prayers to start the day that are good prayers, but he pointed them out to me. It was prayers like this. I'd start the day, God, what can I do for you today? Give me the strength to do what I need to do today. God, help me today. God, use me today. How do you want to use me today? I'm your vessel. Here I am. Use me, Lord. And I believe God spoke to my heart and said, stop making those your first prayer. I'm like, what? It was just this conviction. It was like, stop. That's not what you need, especially in this season of your life. Those are good prayers. Those are great prayers. But as good as those prayers are, I felt like God was telling me, those are not the foundation of your day, or they shouldn't be the foundation of your day, so they shouldn't be the first thing you pray. Because if those kinds of prayers are the first thing on your mind, the reality is that's probably a revelation that, or a slip into a dangerous place, is I'm trying to do enough good in my day, or strive hard enough, or be good enough, or perform well enough, or achieve enough in order to have peace, or feel acceptable in God's eyes or other people's eyes. And that's not supposed to be the foundation of our day, as Jesus modeled. I believe God was speaking to my heart, my soul at that time, saying, hey, the first thing I want you to do is, it's not about what you can do for me. So don't make that your first prayer. I don't need you. Yes, I've invited you to be part of it, but I don't need you. I'm real creative and real powerful. I can use a lot of other people. I'm not dependent on you. And so don't start your day feeling like, you know, I need you. And the foundational, I felt like I was saying, the foundational posture of my life is not ask what you can do for me today, but rest in my arms. Rest in my heart for you. Rest in my love for you. Rest in who you are in my eyes. Rest in my identity for you. Rest in the loving gaze and the smile of heaven over you. Rest in the reality that I delight in you so much it makes me sing over you. These incredible pictures that the Word has all throughout the Word of God's heart for his children, about our identity in his eyes. And Jesus models this. It says the loving gaze, we saw that a couple weeks ago, that is absolutely the foundation. He says he abides in that love, and it is his source of joy. It's his source completely. Source means it's your source of life. And so I felt God was saying to me, you got to start your day with the smile of heaven toward who you are, and that anxious performance-based restlessness that you often feel, let that be quieted by my love. Let that be quieted as I rest in the love, the undeserved love that comes toward me like a rushing waterfall with new mercy every day, with goodness and mercy that pursues me every day, that smiles at me every day because of what Jesus has done. And now I, as a beloved, can claim, I am a beloved child of God. And that is the source of my reality. That is the source of my identity. And that kind of praying and soaking in those truths and meditating on those truths and letting those truths wash over your being until the power of the Holy Spirit makes them real and you can own it and you can feel it, that will change your life. That will release huge burdens. Because what it does is it says, I'm not defined in my day by what I accomplish. Or I'm not defined in my day by what others say about me, good or bad. I'm not defined by what I achieve. Jesus takes his defining reality not by those things, but by dwelling in the loving gaze of the Father. And he models, that's his model, learn from me, he says. So he doesn't begin his day all stressed out by what he has to do, but by connecting in and remaining in the Father's love. So my encouragement to you guys is practice this. I know I'm not the only one who's ever started the day feeling anxious, disquieted. Like, I've got so much to do, it's overwhelming. So start the day. Right in your lift notes, there's a identity prayer. And I gave you a few of my favorite identity prayers to soak in, but they're all throughout the Word. Anything that's a promise of God towards his children, of how he feels about his children, is an identity truth to soak in. And say, thank you, Father, today, that when I woke up, the first thing on your mind wasn't everything I needed to do to try to perform and achieve and have success by all that I do, but to simply rest in your arms and be a beloved child. And let that soak in. And there's some scriptures to soak in with it. But that will absolutely change your reality. It's changed mine, absolutely. And I feel the weight is so lifted. Where I'm at a place in my life where I have more responsibility personally, with my job, with ministry, than I've ever had in my life. And there's still hard days that I feel the anxiety, but I would say the overall arc of my life in the last couple years is that I walk with a more light and easy yoke than I ever have, while responsibility has just continued to increase because of the reality of abiding in the love of the Father, the gaze from heaven that says that's your source of identity. So it's awesome. It works. My encouragement is practice it. Practice it. All right, number three. We'll go quick on this one. This was all about last week. Steward your time with abiding as your priority. This is where we saw Jesus last week, just surprisingly, almost offensively. He said no to good things. He said no to ministry opportunities right in front of him. In order, it says, to often withdraw to lonely places and pray. And this was in the context of even helping others, serving others, bringing God's kingdom, meeting with real people and real needs. And he often, it says, walked away, was the picture that Luke painted in Luke chapter 5, 16, 15, and 16. He modeled that he only wanted to do what the Father was doing. And that first and foremost, abiding in his Father's love, connecting with the Father, is that priority. And so much that it could be characterized about his life, he earned a reputation that he often withdrew to lonely places. In other words, often got alone to be alone with God. No distractions, just him and God. And that's the challenge. Can that be said about our life? If people got to know you, could that be a reputation that you earned? Whoa, that person surprisingly makes time in their schedule to just get alone and be with God. And so the practice is to go through your calendar. As we said, stewarding your time is one of the biggest gifts that God's ever given you. Steward your time with the lens like this. Do I and do we, so if you're married, you add in we because you got to do it together. Do I or we have time in our schedules? Do we make time to abide, to be alone, just alone with God on a daily, weekly, monthly, seasonal basis? Because it changes, especially on seasons of life. It changes frequently. But do you make it a practice to make that a priority? It will change your life, I promise. Number four, I'm going to use a phrase that my friend said to me 14 years ago, and it changed my life forever. Learn to tend your own vineyard in order to dwell every moment at rest in God's presence. See, Jesus just didn't start the day in God's presence, and he didn't just get alone with God at certain times throughout the day. He cultivated an awareness of God's presence throughout the day. That word abide means dwell, to live in, to remain in. Jesus remained in God's presence throughout the day. I believe he learned to tend his own vineyard. Another way of saying this is Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, above all else, guard your heart. Above all else, that's a crazy statement. All else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Other translations say, for it is the wellspring of life. Another way to say this is learn to take care of yourself. Learn to tend your own vineyard. Learn to guard your heart. See, I believe God wants us to learn how to take care of ourselves, to tend our own vineyard, to do what is good, to keep ourselves producing good fruit. We don't need a blazing pillar of fire from heaven to know what God's will is all the time. There's all sorts of good principles in here that God basically is giving us a huge freedom, a huge responsibility, a stewardship to say, take good care of yourself so that your life produces good fruit. If your life is producing stinky fruit, stop doing it. You've got the freedom. You don't need a blazing pillar of fire from heaven to say, oh, I think I should stop doing this. God says, produce good fruit. Abide in the vine. And so he gives us this opportunity to learn how to tend our own vineyard and say, to be a fruit inspector of our own tree, of our own vine. And say, what's going on in my life? Is my life producing the fruit of the Spirit? And to learn how to tend that vineyard. And learn those things that help produce good fruit. Kind of this question is, do you know how to feel what's going on inside? Do you know how to feel your soul? Do you know how to recognize those things that take you away from resting in God's presence? Do you know how to recognize those things that disconnect you from your soul resting in God? I love Brother Lawrence. He's a favorite of mine. We're probably going to hear a message on him this summer, but he's an old monk that cultivated this thing called practicing the presence of God, where he worked at, and if you read his biography, he worked at learning to put his soul to rest, and there's this beautiful quote he says, to the point he wanted to get to because he believed Jesus modeled it, and it's possible that there's this ongoing, quiet, I think his language is this secret gaze of the soul, this loving gaze of the soul with God in this secret, quiet conversation between his heart, his soul, and the Father all the time, regardless of what your activity is. And he's talking about this abiding, resting, remaining in God's presence, and that it doesn't need to be broken. It's not like we spend time with God in the morning and then it's just the rest of our day is just broken. And that's the only time we connect with God. That's not what Jesus modeled. That's not what Brother Lawrence just caught on to of like, no, there's this place of the soul's conversation with God It's kind of like secret, quiet. I'm connected with God. I'm sensing God's presence. I'm talking to God. Everything's filtering through my love for God. And that doesn't have to be broken all the time. But as he went through in his biography, I recommend it, Practicing the Presence of God, get it. It was a struggle. He had to strive. He had to fight to learn how to put to death all these other distractions and all these other things that he had to learn how to guard his heart. He had to learn how to find those things, to recognize those things that took him out of that place of rest. And then also, what are those activities that help put him back and just simply bring his attention and his focus of his heart back to God? And so it's that question for us. Learn, do you know how to tend your own vineyard? And feel those things that get you off of it. Like, I'll just be honest with one simple thing. It's not a sinful thing, but it's simple. I need to guard my heart with how I use my phone. It's a blessing. That little gadget can be a blessing. I've got like my whole office on it, so I'm not knocking it. But that can easily distract my heart from a restful conversation with God, because I can get so caught up in the next message, the next ding, the next notification, the next hit on Facebook, that my soul is gone to this distracted, impulsive anticipation of that versus a quiet, restful God. I'm talking to you. My gaze is on you. It's loving you. And I'm not saying that to be on Facebook is bad or to be on your phone is bad, but I'm saying tend your own vineyard. And once you've felt like you know what it is to be in God's presence, take it from there and say, okay, I want to try to cultivate this. I want to keep this going. So hopefully some of you experience God's presence right now today. I would encourage you to say, okay, I want to try to keep this conversation with my heart, my soul, with God, that loving gaze of praise and worship of who God is, that kind of quiet, secret conversation with God. I'm going to keep that going. And then notice what breaks it. What got you distracted? At the end of your day, take a little bit of an assessment and say, okay, how am I doing? What broke? If I'm not feeling connected, if I'm not feeling that fellowship, what broke it? Was it an outright sin? Okay, I need to confess that, deal with that. Or was it just something where I just allow myself to get too filled up with distractions? Because Jesus models something so powerful, beautiful, that put his soul at rest, which was he learned how to abide, to dwell, to remain in the loving gaze of heaven throughout his day. So that's, to me, a massive, significant, I'm not abiding. It's over. I knocked a little leaf off. If you guys weren't with us before, this is what happens when we don't abide. I ripped it off that little thing because we're made to be a beautiful flower that just exudes the beauty of God's presence and his fruit. But what are those, here you go, what are those little things that make your soul start to feel like that? Make your soul start to shrivel up versus be vibrant and alive in his presence. And I believe this is a process of learning to tend your own vineyard. It's a process. You're not going to be great at it. It's not going to wake up tomorrow. But I believe this is what Jesus says, learn from me. If we take this challenge, it'll change our life forever. So quiet yourself. Here's the practice of it. Down onto your lift notes. Practice from number 4. Throughout the day, at whatever point, the more you can do it, kind of the better. You quiet yourself and you check in. It doesn't have to. Maybe it starts with something super intentional where you're just going to set aside a couple minutes to pray and kind of check in. But then it also just becomes natural. You learn to tend your own vineyard. You learn to feel your soul. You learn to feel what gets you disquieted and out of rest. But the practice is that you just quiet yourself, take a moment, breathe out the busyness of the day, and just kind of check in with your heart and say, how am I feeling? How is my soul doing? Can I feel my soul resting in God's presence where I'm aware of his love? My soul is, I just kind of got that simple, joyful, peaceful, loving worship of God, connection with God, or do I feel restless, distracted, burdened? And you want to learn to check in and catch yourself earlier versus, oh my gosh, it's been a month, and man, I am a dry, weary little crisp, and if someone touched me, I just like crumble. Hopefully you can feel it earlier. And just learn to tend your own vineyard. Oh, got distracted. Let me just check back in. Let me plug back in. And you learn. You learn those specific practices that are really helpful for you. Maybe it's getting alone and just doing a little bit of quick journaling. Maybe it's taking a scripture verse that you memorized early in the morning or just looked at it and you just kind of want to, that's a little food for your soul and you just got to bring that back to mind. And that's a great reason to get in scripture, is to have kind of a tool to just bring your mind back to God for the day. Maybe you just need to get alone out and do some exercise of, you know, you're on the bike, you're walking, you're running, and that's your place where you just are talking to God and help to just reconnect, put your soul at rest. You're out in nature just enjoying seeing his glory, his power, in just the world around you. Whatever it may be, there's a million and one different ways, and this is part of tending your own vineyard. Learn what are those ways that help you get reconnected. And what are those things that help distract you? Get rid of those and just get really good at the things that help you get connected. It'll change your life. You got to fight for it, though. All right, lastly, number five, we'll be done. Another practice, another tool. Give him your burdens. This is one of the most practical things we can do to fight the battle of learning to rest in him, is that when we are walking through our day and we feel that we have a burden, we feel stressed about this situation, this person, this conflict, this upcoming thing, this task I got to do, is to learn to stop right there and prayerfully give it over to him. Because he told us that when we are carrying heavy burdens, he wants us, this is God's will, again, he wants us to learn how to exchange that for a light burden. Other place in James says, cast your burdens, same word, cast your burdens on me because he, cast your cares on him, cast your burdens on him because he cares for you. If you're feeling a burden, it matters to God. And so it's learning. I'll tell you what I do. When I sense that, when I feel that, I'll stop. And I believe that God has said right there between those two scriptures, he wants to make an exchange with me. He wants me to give him my heavy burden, put it on his shoulders, and exchange, receive his light yoke. That's 100% scripture. So what I do, I pray it sometimes, and sometimes I even, in my prayer, I imagine, what does that look like in my life right now? What's my burden? What am I feeling? What am I anxious for? And sometimes I feel like, or sometimes I even imagine myself carrying like a backpack. That, and I'll put a label on it, whatever it is. What is the burden that I'm carrying? Is it a situation? Whatever it is, and I see the label on that backpack, or you can use the ox, the imagery, that yoke. That's going back to farming days, agriculture. We don't, not a lot of farmers in the room, but Jesus is talking to farmers, and the idea is the yoke is that wooden contraption that you put over the shoulders of an ox so that they can pull a heavy burden behind them. And Jesus is saying, when you feel that yoke, label the backpack, whatever it is, situation, frustration, hurt, anxiety, person, whatever it is, God says, cast your cares on him. So he's saying, I picture myself, I'm going to pick that up, I'm taking it off of my shoulders, I'm giving it to Jesus because he can handle it, he's got the big strong shoulders, and I'm going to take on his light yoke. I'm going to put that on my shoulders because that's what he told me to do. And I pray that. And it's amazing, and but you don't just, you know, it's not just this imagining thing. That's a prayerful way, and some of you are more artistic than others, some of you are more visual, so if you're on that end, then I believe this is a very legitimate way of praying, or you can just say the words. But whatever's going on in your life, I am giving it, I'm feeling it, first of all, which is not your will, and so I'm going to, right now, choose to take it off, put it on your shoulders, entrust it into your good care, because it's your battle to fight. I'm doing my job, which is rest in your arms and trust you for the power to do it. So I, therefore, can walk now with a light and easy yoke. And that's the practice right there. Number five, practice. When you feel a burden, stop and pray. I kind of already said it all. Picture what the burden is, heavy load. Imagine taking the burden, giving it to Jesus. Pray words that go with it, like, thank you, Jesus, that you want me to cast my burdens on you so I can walk with a light and easy yoke. Man, it's like I wrote this. I entrust this burden into your good care. So there it is. Practice number five. That's it. Those are five tools. I guarantee, or your money back, you will get your life changed. Your life changed. Yeah, your money back. You put in a $1,000 offering today. If this doesn't work after 6 months, you come to me and I will get it back to you. I promise. Who's got some faith today? All right. I think we're done. I'm joking if you're new. five practices that will change your life. They've changed mine. I believe this is what Jesus says. Learn from me to walk in a light and easy yoke, a soul at rest. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you first and foremost that it is your will that we would learn to walk with a soul at rest and a light and easy yoke. Thank you that we can learn from you, Jesus, that you had more pressures, responsibilities, and what should be burdens than any person that ever walked the earth. You have more burdens than we do. Your life was way harder, way more pressures, way more responsibilities than we have ever had. And you can say, learn from me as I walk with a light and easy yoke. My burden is light. Thank you, God, that you want us to learn from you. And I just pray a blessing over this church family as we have now have five tools and practices from your word. Lord, as your word says, not just be hearers of the word, but that we would be doers of the word. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that it would be your Holy Spirit's power that would enable us to walk out of this place and go be doers of this word. And that these little practices would not just be five little nice little cute things, but that this would be, these would become just life-transforming reality to our soul as they're straight from your heart. Teach us, Lord, how to strive to enter your rest, how to fight the battle against the lies of the enemy, against the rebellion of our soul, against the junk and the lies that the world tells us. Teach us, Lord, how to put those things to death that we would walk in your rest with a light and easy yoke. We thank you that it's possible. We thank you that it's real. And I just speak testimony of my life, Lord, that I've experienced this, Lord. Not that it's all restful every day, Lord, but thank you, Lord. I just, as your word says, we sung that song. We overcome by the word of testimony. So I just speak that testimony that my yoke is easy and my burden is light and my soul is at rest, massively more so compared to 5 years ago or 4 years ago or 10 years ago or 2 years ago because of you, Jesus. And I just pray that blessing, Lord, we would be a church family that learns, that takes that journey by the power of your Spirit to learn to walk in rest. Thank you, Lord. You love to do it. You'll continue to do it again and again. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
For more podcasts and updates, go to weareelevation.com. Also, follow us on Twitter at weareelevation.com. And on Facebook, facebook.com/weareelevation.